Previously, I'll come, Lord Jesus.
Today's big idea is this: God's plan is always in motion, even when we don't perceive it. It's what we call the intertestamental period. Scholars call it the silent years, because there's no new prophecy, there's no new revelation, there's no new message from God. It's just year after year of waiting. But in this moment, what we see is that God begins to stir and to put into motion his perfect plan. Don't miss it. Hundreds of years of silence. God begins to speak through angels. He speaks through Zechariah. He prophesies. But then God speaks in the clearest way possible. He doesn't just use a human to proclaim his word. He doesn't just use an angel to proclaim his word. The word comes to us in human form. All those years of waiting, all of those silent nights, 150,000 of them come to their end when God doesn't just speak through a messenger or speak through a prophet, but God comes himself.
Well, good morning. If you have a copy of God's Word this morning, open up with me to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 22 should be the very last page probably in your Bible before you get to the maps at the very end. Revelation chapter 22. While you're finding your place there, man, I've enjoyed our service so far this morning. I hope that you have. And the Bass Boys, I like that. That was good. Mary was the first one. May we follow in her lead. Revelation chapter 22, as you are finding your place there today, I want to mention something just by way of preface. I never knew how concerned my church family was for me than after last week, after all the comments and questions. I thought you were sick. I thought something was wrong. People were going to come up here and medically assist me last Sunday morning during the time of silence. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then you need to go back and watch last week's sermon and evidently, I scared the church. I'm so sorry. I did not mean to do that. I was trying to make a point. But that said, we have been talking the last few weeks, this series called Come, Lord Jesus, as we have been looking at why Jesus came. And so we started, if you remember, in the very beginning. We went to the very beginning of our Bible, Genesis chapter 3, and we saw that God, in the very beginning, when the world fell apart in brokenness, God made a promise that he would send a Messiah to come and to save the world, that Jesus would crush the head of the serpent. Then we fast-forwarded a little bit, several hundred years, to the times of the prophets, and we looked and we saw that God spoke through the prophet Isaiah and made these very specific prophecies about the birth and the coming of the Messiah, about 700 years before the birth of Jesus ever took place. And then last week, we went to Malachi, to the very end of the Old Testament, and then to the very beginning of our New Testament, to that intertestamental period, and we saw that during this period of silence, that God was still on the throne. God was still working his plan of salvation for us, ultimately to bring it to fruition in Jesus. Well, today we're going to go to the very end. We've looked at the beginning, the middle, now let's go to the end of our Bibles, and we'll see not so much about the first coming of Jesus today, but looking forward to the second. So if you have your place open in God's Word, Revelation 22, I'm going to begin today by reading verse 6 and verse 7. Would you follow along with me? Revelation 22, verse 6. John writes, "And he said to me, 'These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book.'" Would you pray with me this morning? We'll take a look at God's word together. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for speaking. We thank you for coming. God, the Word became flesh. We don't have to just read it in a book. You came. And Father, we praise you for that, and we love you for that. And we thank you for making a way of salvation for us through Christ. And God, today as we go to the end of the book today, as we look at the last few pages in your Word, we're reminded that you don't just come once, that you're coming again. And so, Lord, would you help us to understand this passage of Scripture today? Help us, God, to know what it is that you've called us to do. And help us, God, to be obedient. And we ask this all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas to you. Yesterday was Christmas Day, and if you're like us, you had a maybe a good day with your family, and I hope that you did. I sincerely do. But you know, I want you to think back to when you were a kid, and you were looking forward to Christmas Day. I know our kids were, how many more days till Christmas? How many more days till Christmas? And, you know, eagerly looking forward to that, waiting on that day. And, you know, it's like Christmas would never get there. You remember that feeling? It's like it would just never come. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, you have 364 days until Christmas comes again, okay? Can you wait? Can you wait that long? You know, it's hard to wait, isn't it? We talked about this for several weeks now. It's hard to wait on something. You know, it's hard enough to wait on something when we know when it's going to happen. We know when the next Christmas is going to be. We've got it on our calendars. We can plan ahead. Count the days, 364 of them. But I tell you, it's even harder. It's especially harder to wait on something that you are told is going to come, but you don't know when it's going to happen. When somebody tells you, hey, this is going to happen, but you don't know when, it's incredibly hard to wait on that thing to happen, especially as the days grow into weeks, grow into months, grow into years, decades, even centuries before that thing ultimately takes place. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. You know, this Christmas season, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, his coming into the world. We've anticipated this fact all the way from the very beginning, the promise and the prophecies that God would send his son into the world to save it. That has happened. We look back and we celebrate that. But we need to remember something this morning. As we celebrate this idea of come, Lord Jesus, he's already done it, but we got to remember he's going to do it again. I want you to take a look at today's big idea with me. It's this: Jesus came once, but he's coming again soon. Jesus came once, and he's coming again soon. You know, it may seem a little odd to talk about this at Christmas time, but it's all about Jesus' coming, his arrival, and the Bible tells us how it's going to take place. Today, we find ourselves in the book of Revelation, the very last book in the Bible. You remember the context here. The disciple John, after Jesus, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven, John and the disciples, they followed Jesus faithfully. They proclaimed the gospel message, and you know, many of them were martyred for their faith. Well, John gets exiled to this island called Patmos. As John is on this island all by himself in solitary confinement, he gets this revelation, this vision from the Lord himself. If you go to the beginning of Revelation, Jesus shows up. He appears to John. John sees this image of Jesus in all of his glory. Jesus has a message for the churches, this message of endurance. If you read the book of Revelation, it's all about hang on. Jesus is coming. Be faithful. Continue to follow me in the midst of persecution. It's all over the book. But there are a lot of themes we could talk about in Revelation, but there's really this one recurring theme from chapter 1 to chapter 22, and it's this: Jesus is coming again. We see it chapter after chapter, the hope of the second coming. And so today I want us to take a look at this theme, at this idea of the fact that Jesus, yes, he came once, he came in the form of a baby, he came to save the world, but he is coming again. And we need to look forward to that day just as much as we look forward to Christmas. So as you think about this idea, let me encourage you to grab your outline this morning and follow along with me as we walk through a few verses here. We're not going to go through the whole chapter. I'm going to kind of select a few today, just very quickly today. I want us to take a look at what do we need to do if Jesus is going to come again? How do we need to respond if Jesus is indeed coming again? Let me give you four very applicable, practical things. Here's the first one. We should anticipate Jesus is coming. We should anticipate Jesus' second coming. I mentioned to you the book of Revelation was written to encourage a church in the midst of a very hard time. And here in these last few verses, we see the same theme of encouragement. But as we read these verses, particularly in three verses, verse 7, verse 12, and verse 20, we see a phrase, and it's repeated three times. Let's do a little activity. I want you to see if you can pick out the phrase that's repeated three times here in these verses. Listen, verse 7, "And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Verse 12, "Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay everyone for what he has done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." And then in verse 20, "He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." All right, did you catch it? What was the phrase? It was repeated three times. Somebody tell me. "I'm coming soon," right? We see it there. You can even highlight it in your Bibles. The same exact wording, the same exact phrase is repeated three times. "I am coming soon." Now, when we think about this, we've got to notice two very important things about that phrase as it's repeated. Here's the first. We've got to notice who is speaking. Who is the one who is saying, "Behold, I am coming soon"? Did you know that depending on who says that, who says that phrase, it changes the entire meaning of it, right? Let me put it to you this way. If you're hanging out at home and you get a phone call from like your long-lost aunt, and she says, hey, I'm coming soon, right? That could be a good thing or a bad thing, right? Depending on your family dynamics. If you get a call one day and it's an axe murderer and he says, I'm coming soon, right? That changes the meaning of it a little bit, doesn't it? Or if you get a call, think back to your dating days or your engagement days, and maybe you had a period of kind of long-distance relationship, right? And your loved one calls and says, hey, I'm coming home soon. Man, your heart just gets all a flutter, right? You just can't wait. Depending on who is saying the phrase, it changes the meaning. So who is the one who's saying, behold, I'm coming soon? Is it someone we love or someone we need to be afraid of? Who's the one speaking? Somebody tell me, who is it who is speaking here? Somebody say it. It's Jesus, right? Now, some of you cheated. Some of you got a red letter Bible, and you know who was saying it, right? But we know that it's Jesus. If you look at the context here, Jesus in all of his glory is giving this revelation to John. And Jesus specifically speaks here verbally in these three verses. And each time he says the same thing, I am coming soon. Now, I'm going to trust this morning that you're here and you know who Jesus is, but just in case you don't, who is Jesus? Jesus, the King of Kings. Jesus, the Lord of Lords. Jesus, the one who came to the world, the one who came in the form of a baby in the manger. This Jesus, the miracle worker, the teacher. Jesus, the one who died on the cross, whose body was buried in a grave, and who rose again, hallelujah, on the third day. That Jesus is the one who tells us, behold, I'm coming soon. In other words, Jesus says, I'm coming back. You need to be ready, because here's what he's going to do. When Jesus comes back, he's not going to come as a baby in a manger. He's not going to come to shepherds out in the fields. Jesus will come. If you read the book, he's going to come riding that white horse. He's going to come with the sword in his hand. He will come to judge. He will come to reign. He will come to rule. And so here he is. Jesus says, I'm coming soon. So we need to know who is coming. But secondly, we've got to notice when he's coming. When is it that Jesus says he's coming? Somebody tell me, I'm coming when? Soon. Behold, I'm coming soon. Now, when someone says they're going to do something soon, it implies something in the near future, right? You need to anticipate something that's going to happen that's imminent. It can happen any moment, any day, or any hour. Now, listen, let me just be honest this morning. There may be some of you here who are a little bit skeptical and thinking, well, listen, I mean, Jesus said this. How long ago? 2,000 years, right? Last time I checked, that wasn't very soon if something takes 2,000 years to happen. So why would Jesus say, behold, I'm coming soon, excuse me, and here we are 2,000 years later? You know, it's kind of like, you remember when you were a kid and you're riding in the car and you're going somewhere and you ask your parents that question, hey, when are we going to get there? And what do they say? Soon, right? Didn't you love that answer? And now we say it to our kids, don't we, right? Every good parent. Soon, right? Something open-ended, something general. And sometimes we read that word and it just frustrates us because we're like, when is this going to ever happen? And here's the early church. And they're thinking the same thing. Here's this Jesus saying, hey, I'm coming soon, I'm coming soon. And day after day and year after year pass and there's no Jesus. So if you can imagine, the church, kind of like you and I get, they got a little frustrated. They got a little discouraged. This early church, the saints, as they're enduring persecution, as they're walking through all sorts of difficulties and know Jesus, they're ready to throw in the towel. In this context, I want you to read a few words that Peter, through the power of the Holy Spirit, wrote to encourage the church. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 3. When you're waiting on Jesus to come and it doesn't seem to come, listen to this. Peter says, they'll say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. That's the naysayers talking there. But he says, do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Listen to me, church family. I know you know this. Jesus is coming again. We know who's speaking. We know the one who said it, right? And last time I checked, Jesus is Lord, not a liar. He's never lied. He never will. He told us he was going to come once. He did. He told us how he was going to come. He did it exactly as he said. We can take him at his word. But sometimes we got to wait for it. And we've been waiting a long time. And the world around us isn't getting any brighter, is it? But listen to me this morning. Jesus is coming again. Know it. Remember it. Recognize what he says and anticipate his coming. If we know that he's coming, then we better be ready. We should anticipate Jesus' second coming this morning. But there's a second application. If Jesus is coming again, then what do we need to do? Number two, we should ask Jesus to come soon. We should ask Jesus to come soon. When you take a look at these few verses that we just read, there's another word, there's another phrase that pops up a couple of times. Actually, three times. Let me see if you can find the word that shows up three times in these two verses, verse 17 and verse 20. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. So here's your quiz. What word pops up three times in those two verses? Come. Right? Come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Now again, just like we looked at these first three verses, we've got to understand who's the one doing the talking here. Who is the one who is saying, come, in these verses? We see it right there in verse 17. Two individuals, two bodies. We have the Spirit and the bride. Now, who are these? The Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Spirit is just that. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit. The third person in the Trinity. The Spirit of God is longing for the day when Jesus the Son will come and return and make things right in the world. Romans 8 tells us this, that all creation groans waiting for the day along with the Spirit. So the Spirit is telling the Son, come, Lord Jesus, I'm ready for that day. But who else is joining in? Someone known as the bride. Who is the bride? The bride is us. The bride is the church. When you read Revelation, it's this picture of the body of Christ joined together, the bride waiting on the groom. Ladies, let me take you back to your wedding day. All right? Or let me take you back to the days even leading up to your wedding day. How many of you ladies look forward to your wedding day? Wow. Some of you guys, y'all must not have been very good fiancés. Goodness gracious. Let me ask again, how many of you ladies look forward to your wedding day? Now, I know it's been a while, right? I know things have changed. But man, go back to that feeling of anticipation. Man, we can't wait, right? You're getting all the details, flowers and dresses and bridesmaids and all those things, and you just can't wait for the day to come. Well, here we are in Scripture, the bride of Christ, waiting on our groom. The picture of that bride waiting on the wedding day. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. We are joining in this crowd saying, come, Jesus, and come quickly. What a picture. But you know, I've got to be honest. It seems a little hard sometimes, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem a little awkward for us to be sitting here telling Jesus what to do? Like sitting here saying, hey, Jesus, why don't you just hurry up and come back? But you know, if you think about it, I got to thinking as I was studying this week, how hard would it have been to be Mary and Joseph? Right? You're walking along down the street, going to market, and Jesus is maybe kind of lagging a little bit behind, and there's Joseph. Hey, Mary, tell Jesus to hurry up. Well, you tell him to hurry up, right? He's the Son of God. I'm not going to tell him what to do. Can you imagine how awkward that must have been? Here's the thing, but here we are, and it's not like we're sitting here saying, hey, Jesus, go do something. That's not the picture. We're calling out to him. We're asking him to do something that he's already told us that he's going to do. And let me take it a step further. We're asking him to do something that he tells us to ask him to do. Let me take you to a few scriptures. Jesus tells us specifically to ask him for things. Listen to these verses. Just real quick, some selections. Matthew 7, verse 7. Jesus is speaking here. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Mark 11, 24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it and it will be yours. And then John 15, 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So let me ask you a question this morning. Did Jesus say that we could ask him for stuff? Yes, he did. He commands us to ask him for stuff, specifically to ask him for his will to be done. Well, we just read in Revelation 22, his will is what? To come back, to redeem the broken world, and to make things new. So guess what we need to be doing? Asking him to do it. Jesus, come. You told us you would. God, would you please come? Would you please come and come soon and make this world right again? Restore the brokenness. Bring us back. Usher in this new eternal kingdom. Ask Jesus to come soon. But I got to be honest. As I was preparing my message this week and reading these verses and looking at these texts that I just shared with you, I was convicted. Because I don't know about you, can I just be very transparent as your pastor this morning? There are a lot of days when I'm not praying, come, Lord Jesus. You know why? Not because I don't want him to come. I really do. But there's a lot of days I'm just not really thinking about it, and here's why. I've put this in your outline this morning. I think that the reason that many of us don't pray and ask Jesus to come soon is because we live like we'd be perfectly fine if he didn't. Do I need to say that again? Because it hurt my heart. I don't know about you, but there are days where it's not even on my mind because I'm so busy living my life, doing my thing, focusing on just worldly stuff, not bad things, good things, family and friends and activities and stuff. It's all good. But if we're not careful, we get so wrapped up in that that we forget that Jesus is coming, and we forget that he tells us to ask him to come. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be so content and satisfied with my worldly life that I don't long for something better, that I don't long for the day when Jesus will come and make all things new and better than anything this world has to offer. So what do? We anticipate his coming. He's coming again. Be ready. Number two, we ask him to come, and we ask him to come soon. He can't come quickly enough, can he? But there's a third principle and application we need to make. Thirdly, we should answer Jesus' summons to come. We should answer Jesus' summons to come. In verse 17, we see that word come one more time. He says, and let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Once again, we've got to understand the point of view here. Who is speaking? Well, before we see the Spirit and the bride calling out to Jesus to come. But here we see a change in perspective. The Spirit and the bride also are speaking here, but who are they speaking to? They're speaking to those who need to come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price, let him come. Listen to me. This is not an instruction to Jesus to come. This is an invitation to us to come. This is God, through his Spirit, calling out to every person, saying, come. Come to me. Come if you're thirsty. Come if you're longing for something better. Come if you're broken. I'm reminded of that song that our choir sang just a few weeks ago in that beautiful Christmas musical, come all you unfaithful, right? Those who are hurting and broken. That's the people that Jesus is speaking to here. Those are the ones that he's calling out to, inviting, beckoning to come. And what does he offer? Come, if you're thirsty, let me give you something to drink. And not just something that's going to satisfy for a moment, but will satisfy forever, just like he offered the woman at the well. You know, as you read these verses, though, Jesus isn't just coming up with some random phrases here. He's repeating something that he has been speaking to his people for generations. I want to take you back to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 55, again, 700 years before the first time Jesus came. Listen to what he says. Isaiah 55, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me here, that your soul may live. Listen to me this morning. Jesus is saying the same thing that he has been saying for generations. Come to me. Come to me. We're asking him to come, yes, and we need to. But at the same time, we're calling out to him to come again. He's inviting us to come to himself, to come to his presence, to be satisfied, to be healed, to be forgiven. He's inviting us to come. And so let me just ask you right now, this morning, have you come to Jesus? Have you approached him, not by your own works and your own deeds, by anything good that you've done, but have you come to him by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and have you asked him to be your Lord and your Savior? He invites you to. And as we think about this, that Jesus invites us into his presence, that he's coming again, but he invites us to come. Listen to me. We look forward to the fact that he's going to come one day. And for those of us who have accepted his invitation, who have truly come to him for salvation, guess what? It's going to be the best day ever. The second coming will be the best day ever. With one exception, for those who haven't come. The second coming will be the best day ever. I put this in your outline. Except for those who do not know him as Savior and Lord. If you're here this morning, you have not come to Jesus. If you've not come to him in your brokenness and asked for his forgiveness. If you've not come to him and confessed him as Savior and Lord. The second coming is not going to be the best day ever for you. It'll be the day that you miss the boat. And that leads us to one last application here. If Jesus is indeed coming, and he is, then we anticipate it. We ask him to come. We answer his call to come. But then number four, we got to appeal to sinners to come to Jesus. We should appeal to sinners to come to Jesus. I want you to look at the last verse in your Bible, verse 21. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. Doesn't seem like much, right? Kind of a little closing note there by John. But there's a very important word there. And the grace of the Lord Jesus be with who? A few? Most? Many? All. Can I remind you of a very important fact this morning? The heart of God, his desire, is that all people be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. If you don't believe me, well, why don't we take his word for it? Look at 1 Timothy 2. It's exactly what he says. 1 Timothy 2, verse 3. This is good, and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's great. Praise God. He wants people to be saved. But you know as well as I do that not everybody will be, will they? Not everybody will accept the invitation. Not everybody will come. Unless you sit here and think, well, you know what? They'll be all right. We need to read the next few verses in 1 Timothy 2. Listen to what he says. For there's one God, there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. That word is both encouraging and frightening at the same time. It's encouraging because God wants all people to be saved. He's coming again. He wants people to be ready for that. But it's frightening because there's only one way to be saved. And the only way to be saved is by placing your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. So listen to me. Here we are. It's Christmas. All right, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. But in the back of our minds, we've got to remember he is coming again. And if he's coming again, we long for that day. We look forward to that day. But we've got to remember when that day comes, the only people who get to rejoice are those who know him. And if you're like me, sometimes you forget this. We gather with family, we gather with friends, we do our Christmas activities, we celebrate New Year, we do all the things we normally do this week. But we've got to remember that if the gospel is true, and if Jesus is indeed coming again, we've got a responsibility to tell others about him. One little last note in your bulletin I want you to see. Celebrating Christmas doesn't get you into heaven. Only surrendering to the Savior does. You know that, right? I mean, we all know that. We all know it factually. But man, are we living it out? Because if that statement on the screen is true, and I would submit that it is, then we have a task. We have a mission. We have a responsibility to make sure that those people that are in your life, the people that are in your sphere of influence, know Jesus has come once. Why did he come? To save. And he's coming again. And what's he going to do? He's going to come to judge. And he's going to come to rule. And we need to make sure that those that are around us are ready for that day. Can I just remind you one last time of our big idea today? Jesus has come once. And he's coming again soon. Are you ready for that day? Ask yourself that question. Am I anticipating the second coming of Jesus? Or maybe you're like me this morning and frankly you just don't think about it a whole lot. Maybe today you need to confess that to the Lord and ask him to stir in your heart a longing for Jesus to come and to come quickly. Secondly, are you asking him to come? Are you praying and asking Jesus, Jesus, please come quickly. Make things whole again. Heal and restore and come and usher in this new kingdom. And if you're doing that, then you better be ready yourself. And number two, you better be asking other people, are they ready too? So listen, this morning, I know it's not a typical Christmas message, but do you see how it fits? Jesus came once. It was a long time coming, but he came. It's been a long time coming for the second time, but hear me. He is coming again. So may he come. May he come quickly, and may we be ready. Amen? Would you pray with me this morning? Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you that you indeed are coming. God, we neglect it. We forget it. We act like you've said it, and it's just, it's just not going to happen. But Lord, you are on the way. It could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen next week. We don't know, Lord. Only you know. But God, as we look forward to that day, would you remind us, God, that your word is true? God, help us to be ready. So, Lord, right now, there may be somebody here who's not ready. Maybe in this moment, if you were to come right now, there would be people in this room listening to my voice who would not be ready. So, God, change that right now. May they come. And, God, those of us who know you, stir our hearts, Father. Help us to live for eternity, not for the things of this world. And, God, help us to long for the day when you come. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.